Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back, Yakkers. Hope you had a fun and safe holiday. I know we had one.
Barely. There was way too many fireworks in this neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a war zone out there.
Every year,
yeah. In fact, I was writing for the show and I had to stop because I couldn't concentrate enough.
Well, and actually this year was more toned down than most because of our fire danger that we have.
Yeah, and they actually stopped at midnight. I was amazed.
Yeah, it was nice.
But talking about good fun, we got an update from our good friend Jeff Stillwell, who's on his lightning march to Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, yeah. Right.
So let's see what he has to say.
Hi, Robert. This is Jeff Stillwell on the Lightning March for Humanity, calling in with a little bit of an update. I'm at 224 miles today, which means in the next day or two, I'm going to break the 250-mile mark, and that feels fantastic. And you know what feels even more fantastic is the fact that I survived all those record-high temperatures over in eastern Washington. I tell you, I've done the Annapurna circuit up in the Himalayas. I did that when I in my early 20s, and I don't remember it being as difficult as eastern Washington was these last 10 days. I never had to worry about water up there in the Himalayas on the Annapurna circuit. I had to worry about water all the time here in eastern Washington. And the lack of coverage, the shade, the no trees. So hours and hours and hours of getting baked like a chocolate chip cookie in an oven, and it just never goes away. And how do I keep going? I just put one foot in front of the other, and I think about this world that I dream of without disease, without war, because we all simply will it to be so. I've met so many really nice people along the way. I really treasure some of the conversations that I have when I come into that campsite all footsore and weary at the end of the day, and I meet these really great people, and we start talking about their lives and what they dream about. They ask what I'm doing because I stick out like a sore thumb because nobody hikes anymore. I'm certainly the only hiker in every campground I've been in, and people want to know, why are you doing this? So I tell them about the Lightning March for Humanity and how I hope that it'll be a catalyst somehow, that this lightning will strike everybody in the heart and zap them in the heart and fill them with inspiration, this pride of belonging to humanity, and this growing conviction that we are humanity. No matter what the problem, together we can fix it. And they say, wow, I can't do that. I wish I could. I don't have the time and I'm not in the shape. But I really admire what you're doing. You know, good on you. Keep it going. Be safe. You know, I'm just really glad you're doing this. Isn't that wonderful?
And that was our update from Jeff. I can't imagine how hot it is over there.
Well, that's what I was just thinking about when I was listening to him. I'm thinking of all the years that he's doing it, we're having this crazy heat wave that like never ends.
Yeah, it's amazingly hot out there. For those of you who aren't in the Pacific Northwest area, we're having severe record-breaking temperatures out here.
Yeah, we're upper 80s and mid to low 90s. Most of the time it's around 90. And you know, most people who deal with upper 80s and mid to low 90s, they have AC to deal with it. Most people around here don't have AC,
right.
So it really makes it hard to handle.
Our average June temperature is what, 74?
No. I don't even think it's that much, or at least around here anyways. But yeah, I mean, it's fairly low, especially considering, you know, what you're doing. And you know, your house is always hotter than it is outside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it, in fact, is so hot that I think the heat cracked my glasses.
Yes, it did. Go ahead.
We went into, so it's really hot and it's a 30-minute drive down to Costco, right? And no AC in the car.
Unfortunately.
Because it's broken. And so the first place we go into Costco is to the cold vegetable unit, which is 40 degrees. And I'm in there and I'm like, what is this smudge on my glasses? And then I look at it and there's a crack in it. Turns out it's probably the progressive part of my lenses where the lenses get thicker and the heat change. The lenses changed so quickly that they actually cracked along that line.
Yeah, and that's really stinks because those were super expensive.
Yeah, I know. So now I'm going to have to get them replaced. I mean, they're 2 years old anyway, so it's about time, but
yeah. Yeah, but still, that was just crazy. It just goes to show, you know, such a temperature difference, and it made, you know, so quickly is what did it.
Yeah, it's just amazing
how
that
But he was talking about how there's no trees.
Right, so that's a big deal.
Most, you know, for those of you who don't know that area, it's kind of like a wasteland in the middle of Washington and Washington State. And there's no trees. You get a few sagebrushes and, you know, whatnot, but it's pretty desolate. So I know exactly what he's thinking, you know, feeling like a cookie in an oven kind of thing. Because I love my trees. I'm sorry. I do.
It's actually a basin. So it's technically lower than everything around it. So the
that
heat tends to settle down in that low spot.
Right. And over there, it's been above 100 for most of the time. So,
He's just changed his schedule, so he's starting earlier, getting a few less miles, and like I said, he's going to be a little longer than 30 days on this march.
Yeah, the heat is just kicking. I mean, it really is, and I think it's a fantastic thing to do. I would love to do it, but me and heat don't get along, so...
Yeah, I think we'd have to do it in, like, November.
I'd have to sleep during the day and walk at night,
really. Yeah, that's really
but
the
then you miss all the beautiful view and stuff, so...
That's true, but the stars would be amazing out there.
Oh, my God, yes, they would.
But on to today's show, and today we're talking about religion and government intertwining by using symbols and monuments.
Right.
And the first story we have today is actually a good story. We don't get those very often when these two intertwine.
No, they're far and few.
Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled last Tuesday that a monument inscribed with the Ten Commandments must be removed from state capitol grounds.
Yay!
The court found that the inscription of the 6-foot granite slab violates separation church-state.
Finally, somebody gets that.
Yeah, and Oklahoma Supreme Court, which is really amazing.
Yes, very much so.
Supreme Court says the monument must go because public property must not be used for the support of any religion. Supporters of the monument say it does not deal with religion. It represents history.
Okay, that is just ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's really good to see that someone understands separation of church and state. Keep your opinions out of it, no matter whose opinions they are. So it's nice to hear
that. When we talk about how the Ten Commandments are not religion, I don't see how that is possibly an argument.
I know. Personally, to me, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Right. There's only one religion. When you say Ten Commandments, there's only really one set of religions that have that particular thing.
Exactly.
So the Abrahamic religions have that. That's the only ones. You know, the other religions do have edicts and codes and stuff, but none that say these are your Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
Right. But... You know, if you look at it, we only use 70% of that, or we only use 30% of those laws in our secular laws.
Right.
70% we ignore.
But even so, it's been a long time since I've done the religion thing, but, you know, the Ten Commandments, was it Moses came down and told them or whatever? So, hello, right there.
It's religious.
I mean, so I don't see how they can deny that. And history, where do they get history for that?
Well, even the 30%, you know, the murder... Lie, steal, right? Those are ones that are actual secular laws.
Obviously.
Those came well before the Old Testament. Well before. I mean, the Code of Hammurabi had that in there. Come on.
The fact that they're trying to pull the history card, I find very interesting.
Yeah, well, just on a side note, Texas has considered Moses a founding father of sorts. It's really weird in their textbook. I got to do some more research into that, but that's just silly.
There's a lot about Texas, I'm sorry, but there's a lot about Texas that is just silly.
Yeah, but, you know, back to the history, they say that so much of our stuff is, but the first four commandments are based upon worshiping this particular God. That's how it's religious.
Mm-hmm, right.
There's no other way around it.
The fact that Moses wrote it.
Well, was
told to write it.
Yeah. But then you still have to prove that everything happened and all that stuff. So,
yes.
But still, I'm glad for Oklahoma Supreme Court that has said get rid of it. This, oddly enough, is the same monument that the Satanic Temple was going to put a statue of Baphomet next
to. That's right. That's right.
Now they're looking for a new place. So if you have a Ten Commandments monument you would like a statue of Baphomet next to, let us know and we'll get in contact with them.
Yeah, because the second they hear that the Satanics want to put something up, oh, no, we just won't have anything at all.
Absolutely.
But it works.
It works every time. I don't think there's been there's been one point where it didn't work and they didn't have the power to threaten that. So that's different.
Yeah. Another story.
But moving on with this story, Representatives call for impeachment of justices who ruled to remove Ten Commandments.
That's insane.
Yeah. Multiple Oklahoma Republican representatives Tuesday called for judicial reform and impeachment of the seven Oklahoma court justices who ruled that the Ten Commandments statue be removed from the Oklahoma Capitol. State Representative Kevin Calvey said in a statement, "The Ten Commandments have undeniable historical significance as a foundation for U.S. law. United States Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. itself depicts the Ten Commandments. To ban the Ten Commandments from the seat of our state government shows that the court is imposing its own elitist political prejudices on the people."
Wow.
So, when he's talking about the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court building, he should be talking about Moses holding the Ten Commandments next to Hammurabi, next to Muhammad, next to all these other
not just
historical
the
lawgivers. It's not just the Ten Commandments.
I mean, have you noticed how it's always just theirs? It's not any other religion or anything like that. It's just theirs all the time.
So the freeze on the Supreme Court is a huge depiction of lots and lots of lawgivers throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the Ten Commandments. So they need to stop using that as an argument.
That's true.
Right. And then State Representative Mike Sanders said, "This is pure evil winning in our state and our country," which was his opinion on both the state Supreme Court ruling and the recent court decision on same-sex marriage.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. It's like they're still whining about same-sex marriage again. So because, you know, same-sex marriage is passed and they don't want the Ten Commandments up, they think, you know, they're being persecuted now. They're the victims and whatnot.
Well, this, in my opinion, shows their lack of understanding of the Constitution.
Yes.
Because now they want to impeach someone because they had a decision that differs from them?
That's what I was saying. Because someone has a different opinion than what they like. Hello? Doesn't work like that. Sorry.
Right. That's why we have the three-system government.
Exactly. I mean, that's all I seem to hear anymore is about how they whine because there's a decision made that they completely disagree with. And they think because of that, people should be punished for this or like this, you know, impeached or what have you. But it's story after story, whether it's same-sex or it's taking a monument down, you name it. And
the ACA.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh my gosh, because you don't agree with what they say, get real. You know, grow up. You don't agree with everyone all the time. Learn to accept it.
Exactly. And the Supreme Courts are there to make these types of decisions. Now, I don't agree with every decision Supreme Court makes, but you know what I do?
You go out and you do something about it. You don't sit there and whine about it, for one thing.
Well, yeah, especially in the point of the National Supreme Court is I make sure that the next president is going to appoint people that I want them, that I would approve of.
Right. You go out and vote, and you don't just vote during presidential elections either.
Because this shows the importance of it.
Yes, exactly.
So, but moving on, because that's all so much fun. Atheist group in the process of suing county over religious monument. In Levy County, Florida, the Williston Atheist and American Atheist, based out of New Jersey, have filed a complaint in federal court asking for the Ten Commandments at the courthouse be removed, or for the county to allow the atheist bench to be placed there as an alternative. Williston Atheists have submitted two applications in the past to erect a monument of private expression, but was denied both times.
Yeah, that's typical.
So Florida already has an atheist monument put up by the American Atheist. I think
that's
it was 2 years ago.
Yes, I remember that.
I don't
that.
Remember the exact location. It's a nice one. I do remember a picture of one of the religious kooks standing on top of it preaching.
Yeah,
I don't
he was
remember
preaching, was standing on the bench or something.
I think it was
Hovind. I don't recall.
Eric Hovind, that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but a local pastor of the First Baptist Church said he would take the monument.
Well, First Baptist probably would be glad to and be honored to host the Ten Commandments. If it was not to be able to sit on the courthouse square, then we certainly would love to have it on the corner of our property.
So I have no problem with that. If he wants to take it and put it on the church property, go for it.
Right.
That's where it belongs.
Yes, of course.
It doesn't belong on
state grounds.
On state grounds, which is where it's been.
Right.
Additionally, Levy County School Board has also received a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It says the board is violating the Constitution by having exclusively Christian prayers at school board meetings. Pastor Buchanan had something to say about that as well.
The school board's being attacked because they're praying in the school board meetings, which we're thankful for that. Also, their teachers have Bible sayings in their classrooms or whatever. Whatever the case is, we certainly stand with our school board.
And there you go. So he goes from being, you know, kind of nice, saying he'll take the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
To saying the school board's being attacked.
Yes, it's the victim card again.
Right.
But this is a public school, correct?
This is a public school.
Yes, so I don't understand why he feels that it belongs in the public school when he just said that the Ten Commandments belong over at the church.
Well, he didn't say they belong over at the church. Okay. He said he'll take them.
That's true.
So
I
think
true.
He would prefer them to stay where they are.
Of course he
but
would.
But I didn't get that from the interview.
Right, that's true.
But then again, we have prayers in a school setting that are exclusively religious.
Right.
Which Supreme Court of the United States has said you can't do that.
Correct. And it's only encompassing one particular religion.
Right.
I mean, there are kids who go to school with no religion, lots of religions, not just their religion.
Yeah. FFRF has been really big on catching these prayers in government
should.
Buildings.
They should.
Yeah, and they should be.
It just does not belong in government public buildings.
Right. In fact, FFRF is running a contest for secular invocators.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So if you're a secular invocator and you're doing invocations at city, county, state meetings, contact FRF and get in on their contest. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
So moving on, Shelby, North Carolina, Christian flag flies over American flag.
That's nuts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, wait. This is the right one. Cleveland County. Let me see where I am. Sorry,
that one was about they flew their Christian flag higher than their American flag.
Yeah, that's it.
And it was during the 4th, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was during the 4th. Sorry, I kind of lost my place on my notes there. You got all kabarbled.
Typical.
So in Cleveland County, North Carolina, Old Glory flies high, right? But in two churches, they have decided to put the Christian flag above the American flag.
They cannot do that. It literally states in a law that they cannot do that.
Well, I happened to look up that law.
Of course you did.
And it says, United States Code Title 4, Chapter 1, the flag. Section 7C, no flag or pennant should be placed above or, if on the same level, to the right of the flag of the United States of America, except during church services conducted by naval chaplains at sea, when the church pennant may be flown above the flag during church services for the personnel of the Navy.
I'm a little iffy on that one, but okay.
Well, that's what the code says.
Right.
Now, the code was written back when we had...
Oh, yeah.
Naval power was more important than anything else.
Right.
But the whole thing states...
You cannot fly another flag higher than the American flag.
Right. And even if you are on a military base, which you could construe this to say an Army base or an Air Force base or Marine post, then if you're having church service, then you could put your church flag above the American flag for the duration of the church
services. Right.
So what this guy did is he actually put it up, him and another pastor down the street, I think, put it up.
Right. It was the two churches.
Permanently.
Oh,
or semi-permanently.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So... And the controversial move is one he noticed from a fellow pastor down the street. And he said, as I was changing the rope one day, the Lord just laid on me that he is first. And when he told me that, I switched the flags around.
Great grammar, by the way.
I didn't write it. He did.
So the Lord told him one day while he was raising the flag that, hey, my flag goes higher than yours.
That's what they're saying. In fact, he said that God comes before country.
Yes, I understood that.
So he also said, the reality is that we have been willing to sacrifice more and be more bold for their cause than the Church of Jesus Christ for serving God, and that's got to change.
Wow.
Yeah. Decisions getting pushed back online by some saying that the move is disrespectful, unpatriotic. But this pastor is a former Army Ranger, and he says, I don't really need electron patriotism. I'm willing to give my life for my country. When you think of military mottos, for example, God and country, God first, then country.
That's just kind of insane.
So, and I don't see as actual patriotism. If you're putting something ahead of your country, you're not being a really patriotic, I don't think.
I mean... I find the fact that he's playing the victim card again, you know, with the, we need to be bolder because everything's coming in that they don't agree with, you know?
Right.
But the fact that the law states you cannot place a flag above an American flag just kind of trumps everything, you know?
Well, here's the thing. So That flag law is basically non-enforced.
Yes, that is very true.
I mean, I get it. It's,
yes.
So they get off kind of on that.
Yeah, right, right.
But still, it's disrespectful to the country's
flag. Well, I was thinking
flag.
Disrespectful, yes.
I mean, exactly. There's a lot of things that are disrespectful. If you're doing out of free speech, fine, I'm good with that. But if you're doing it just to be religious, I don't like that.
Well, either one. I mean, free speech or religious, but...
Well, especially
the fact that they're making it permanent, I think, is
well,
an
especially
issue.
When he knows the flag code.
Yeah, just doing it out of spite.
Yeah,
yeah, I get that, but so, permanently, I think.
Yeah,
because at least you know, like, you're doing it out of free speech or protesting, you know, that kind of thing. But he's dead set on this being a permanent thing.
Yeah, I think he is.
It's just disrespectful, and you're right; they're not going to really do anything about it law-wise.
Right, but moving on with some more Christian flag news. Glencoe's mayor confirms Christian flag removed from city. In Glencoe, Alabama, Mayor Charles Gilchrist confirmed Friday that the flag came down 2 weeks ago after a letter threatening legal action from the FFRF. They're back in it again.
Of course.
The Christian flag, a mostly white flag with a blue square in the upper left-hand corner, including a red cross, has flown over a police department as far back as the 90s, when the late police chief B.J. Alexander took credit for raising it the first time. Gilchrist says the city council met in executive session recently to discuss the legal matter, and this was the legal matter. FFRF had sent a letter saying the group had received a complaint from an unnamed local citizen about the flag on city property. The flag flew in front of a police department adjacent to City Hall alongside the American flag and the state flag of Alabama. Gilchrist says he looked and is still looking at a variety of options that he can legally find a way around the letter, and has consulted with American Center for Law and Justice, a Christian rights legal group headed by Jay Sekulow.
So he just doesn't like it, so he wants to do it regardless.
Right, he's following the law.
Ray is at least sticking to the law.
But he's trying
He's finding a loophole.
He's trying to find a loophole, which yes. I don't think he will.
That would be nice.
It is obviously, and you can't say that's not a religious symbol.
No.
It is the flag of the Christian religion.
Yes.
So I don't think he's going to be able to find a loophole. I don't care. American Center for Law and Justice is a specifically Christian legal defense center. That's all they do.
As long as they stick with the law, I mean, that's fine. If they find a loophole, that stinks and it needs to be fixed. But the law is
the law. You should really, you know, flying a Christian flag on public property is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It is a direct violation of separation of church state. And that's what I can't figure out why they don't understand this.
Yeah, I really have a hard time with that because separation of church and state is pretty straightforward. It's not really that hard.
I get some arguments saying, well, a city is not Congress because it says Congress shall not, right?
Are you kidding?
They get that. Well, we're not Congress. But you're by the 14th Amendment, you are bound by these rules.
Right.
Right? Is it 14th? No, it's 10th Amendment. I forgot.
You know better than me. I'm not good with that.
It's too early in the morning. But no, that's one of their arguments is they say, well, we're not Congress, so, and we're not endorsing religion. We're just putting up a flag.
But it's still a state government property.
Right.
So that kind of chumps it.
And they get horrible arguments like we're just recognizing our Christian heritage in this country. No, you're endorsing a religion.
I was going to say, again, they're pushing it on everyone else like usual.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point of why we keep it separate, or supposed to, anyways.
So, and then we have another one. Oddly enough, there's a whole lot of these. And these aren't, like, old. These are recent.
That's ridiculous.
So, on Tuesday, a federal appeals court will decide if a Jesus statue can continue to stand in Flathead National Forest.
I've seen this.
You've seen this? I don't remember seeing this.
I think we saw this, yes. We drove a lot through Montana. I'm pretty sure we saw this.
I don't remember a Jesus statue, but all right. A ruling in 2013, should be 213 for this ruling, affirmed that Jesus could stay on the mountain. And this week, a court will hear an appeal and decide whether to reverse that ruling or let it stand. According to the Missoulian, the statue was erected in the 1950s by the Knights of Columbus, a Catholic organization, and they call the statue a memorial to World War II veterans and members of the U.S. Army's 10th Mountain Division.
And that's what they chose?
Yeah.
I could think of a lot of things they could have picked.
Yeah, I love how they're using Jesus as a symbol of war veterans.
World War II, yeah. I mean, come on, really?
Well, you got to look. It was directed in the 50s. What else happened in the 50s?
Well, and, you know, it's for veterans, but I'm thinking, why didn't their God save them instead of having to put up this Jesus symbol to represent what happened to them?
Yeah, that's a totally separate discussion.
I was
going to
say, that's a whole other thing, though. I mean,
yeah, that's a whole discussion we could have on a whole another five shows.
Conversation, yeah.
The Beckett Fund, a law firm devoted to promoting the rights of religious groups, is defending the Jesus statue and has released a statement. In it, they assure the public that the Jesus statue is not a religious icon.
In what way?
Oh, I'm getting ready to tell you. But it means a different thing to different people.
Really?
Yes. A quote, "I see this as a war memorial. Some people see this as a historical figure. Some people see it as a religious figure. Some just see it as a statue at a nice location where they like to come and have a picnic." It's almost as if the statue has become a citizen of Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah, this is in Whitefish.
Yeah, Whitefish.
I'm telling you.
Okay. I'm sure we have seen it, and we probably complained about it when we drove by it.
Oh, I'm sure we did. But, I mean, really? Because they're looking at the same thing, everyone's seeing something different.
How can Jesus not be a religious figure?
And that's what I was also going to say. I mean, you're looking at a figure of Jesus.
So
it's like looking at a figure of Mary, you know?
A figure of Buddha.
Anybody, exactly.
Vishnu.
And I'm like, hello, it's with, you know.
It is the central core concept of Christianity.
Christianity.
It's named after him.
I was going to say, yes.
There is no way that a statue of Jesus is not a religious symbol.
No.
I don't
just
care
like,
how many mental gymnastics you have to go through. You cannot get past
like
that
point.
It's
like looking at a statue of Buddha and not putting Buddhism with it.
Right. Because that's what they're saying.
You can't.
And fine. Historical figure, maybe. That's debatable.
I'm not going there.
And just to see it as a statue in a nice location, it's still a statue of Jesus.
Yeah, regardless, it's still a statue of a particular religion, period.
And as a war memorial, no, I can't see that.
No, I'm sorry. There's so many other ways to represent the veterans of World War II.
Yeah, and not with Jesus.
Yeah, something...
Especially not with Jesus.
Yeah, there's something much more respectful, I think, personally.
Because I think the concept of Christianity had a lot to do with the start of World War II.
Mm, I agree.
So...
But that's another show.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I really like that intro.
I know. It's one of my favorites. So, In God We Trust magically appears in the Venice City Council.
Of course it did.
In April, a group of citizens who wanted to add a large plaque to the council chambers inscribed with the words, "In God We Trust." At the time, David Williamson spoke against such ideas, saying, "I'm against having a plaque that divides the nation." Which I agree.
Good. I was going to say, good.
In fact, there's a meme going around that says, I forgot who created it, but it says, you have inserted under God between one nation and indivisible.
Exactly.
So you have essentially divided one nation indivisible.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, I was like, that
is
so
awesome.
Yeah,
I like that. That's awesome.
In fact, on my Facebook cover, there's a really good one that In God We Trust is a divisive statement.
It very much is.
So
I mean, come on, America is the melting pot.
Right.
So that, I mean, by stating that, you've just totally wiped that off the face.
Yeah,
you know?
I think we got off on a little tangent there.
Sorry.
But that's okay. In a 5-2 decision, the city council voted down the proposal. But now, months later, some residents are irritated that the motto is now posted on the council chamber. But how did that phrase get there?
Yeah, that's pretty underhanded.
How did it get there without approval?
Oh, okay. There's another loophole. There's always a loophole.
The answer to that reveals the Potter Award for this week.
Of course it does.
Which goes to the Venice, Florida City Council, who managed to get In God We Trust on the walls by hanging up the Florida state flag.
It's on the flag.
You heard me right. The flag. It's on the state seal that bears the phrase In God We Trust, which is on the flag.
Of course.
It was adopted in 1868 on the seal and became the state motto in 2006.
Okay, so we know it's on the seal, but 06 was when they put this in?
They adopted it as the state motto.
As the state motto.
Right.
That's kind of...
Yeah.
We just seem too modern for that, I guess, is how I think.
It's Florida. Coming out of Florida recently surprises me anymore.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice that.
So, it's a wonderful job, Venice City Council, for going against your own vote that you had a couple months ago and finding a way to sneak in a phrase in such a way that you could never face a lawsuit for it. Ever.
Wow, that's pretty good. On their part, I mean.
Which, by the way, was the only reason they voted down the In God We Trust plaque to begin with. They were afraid of a lawsuit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they even said so in their meeting. I was watching it.
Oh, yeah, because they're all public. Anyone can watch them.
At the time, I still am, with the original motto project.
Right.
And this one I had alerted David Williamson, who we spoke about earlier, and his group, the Central Florida Freethought Coalition.
Right.
And they sent a contingent down and got a bunch of locals involved, which was really good.
Yeah, but that's pretty, I mean, I'm sure they were all cheering that it was voted down, and then to see this come up right underneath it, I mean, that really stinks.
Yeah.
And the fact that the way that it's up, it's going to stay.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's going to stay. And the Venice mayor, John Hollick, says the flag isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And he said, it is displayed correctly. It is the state of Florida flag. Those are the words on the seal of the great state of Florida.
So once again, in true Potter Award fashion, someone is saying, I don't care what you say. I'm doing what I want to do anyways.
Right, pretty much. And that's exactly why I created the original motto project.
Yes.
Was to fight this thing. I mean, we had that thing going on in Pierce County and then one down in Vancouver that we dealt with before the project came about. And then since then, I've actually had, well, I considered Venice a win at one point.
Yes.
Now I'm kind of like still a half win because they went around
their
own decision. And then we had Del Norte County, which was a win.
Mm-hmm.
But so far we've had a lot more losses.
Well, you're looking at fighting against the large, long-standing Christian religion,
right,
versus, you know, the just recently very active atheism groups.
Right.
So,
right.
And so much smaller.
Oh, yeah, so much smaller.
So,
I mean,
you know.
So one of the groups that we're fighting against is In God We Trust America Incorporated out of Bakersfield, Florida. They're having a fundraiser this week.
Yeah, and they're really aggressive, too.
They've got Alan West coming. Who's running for president? Oh, wait. Maybe he's not running for president. I don't know. I can't keep up anymore.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. So they were selling tickets for, what was it, $13,000 or something?
Oh, my goodness.
For VIP tickets. And regular tickets are like $75 or something.
I don't care. Nothing justifies $13,000 ticket.
That's the difference. Original Motto Project is self-funded.
Yes.
And this other group is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to do this.
Yes. Which is actually a lot of the cases with any, you know, activism when you're taking on the Christian versus the, you know, secular and they're going against each other. Most of the time you're looking, the secular is, you know, either self-funded, you know, nonprofit, whereas the Christian side, they're always getting funding coming in all the time and lots of it.
Right.
And which is another scenario between sizes that makes it hard as well.
Right. Now, I do know that In God We Trust America is a technically a small group. They do have a board, but that's pretty much the thing. And Jackie Sullivan runs most of the day-to-day operations, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the only group that does it. North Carolina, there's U.S. Motto Action Committee.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and they're actually doing rather well over there. They got like 47, 48 municipalities.
That does not surprise me for North Carolina.
And there's a guy who does nothing but goes around to council meetings and proposes this.
Yeah. I mean, we're from North Carolina, so we know how it is there. So that does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. And I've got a contact over there who's actually pretty active. Stephen Hewitt, who got the Christian flag off of a war memorial in King, North Carolina.
Oh, that's cool.
And he tried to get In Reason We Trust put in, and now he's working on getting E Pluribus Unum.
I was going to say E Pluribus Unum, right?
Right, he's working on one over there because I forgot what county it is. The county he lives in is trying to get In God We Trust on there. I think they approved it, and he's trying to get E Pluribus Unum go up beside it.
That's got
to
be a big fight over there.
That is a big fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been talking back and forth with him, and he's trying to keep me updated.
Yeah.
So right now they're not talking about it because they wanted to talk budget issues.
Of course.
Yeah.
They always table it.
So that's all the yakking we have for you today, folks.
Yeah, I think we've got lots to talk about still, so make sure you listen in next week and every week thereafter.
Yeah, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Of course, nobody's on Google+. I don't even know why I say that. But you can leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-9255.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.